says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou shalt cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rare reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am, if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now this particular chapter in the in Isaiah's prophecy is given to announce what the righteousness of God actually is. Now, when you look at what he says here, this is the Lord speaking, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, the house of Jacob their sins. Now, the Lord says to Isaiah, show the people what their sins are. Show them what their transgressions are. Now, the nation of Israel had many transgressions, just like all peoples in the flesh have many transgressions. But notice what it is that the Lord singles out as the transgression of this nation. He said, they seek me daily. Now that's a good thing, isn't it? Somebody to seek the Lord. And delight to know my ways. Sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, wouldn't you say, I mean, That's a good thing. As a nation that did righteousness. Nothing wrong with that. And forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Isaiah said, show them their sins. He said, here's a nation that to all outward respects, as far as men could see, as far as the religious world views it, these folks are right on track. But you see, as God is pleased to show us the truth in His Word, you can see that there is a contrast between that which seems right to men, as Brother Don used that scripture last week. There is a way that seems right to men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a religious mindset that men have that does cause them to become convinced that they are doing a good thing. Now, they were seeking the Lord daily, he said. Or they, this is in their mind. Now, we know this, that the Scripture indicates very plainly that they that seek Him shall find Him. He said, if you seek me with all your heart, He said, knock and it shall be opened to you. Seek and ye shall find. There's never going to stand a man before God in the day of judgment and be able to say, I sought thee with a broken and contrite heart. I sought thee in fear and trembling. I sought thee after the manner that thou hast bid men to seek after thee. And you turned a deaf ear to me and did not hear me. It's never going to happen. Never going to happen. But the Lord plainly said that there will be many in that day that will say unto Him, Lord, have we not done all of thy works? And He will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. It is not about the things that men see. You see, men see with natural eyes. And it would appear that sincere people, sincere religious people, insofar as outward sincerity is concerned, would be those whom God would have a mind to, would it not? I mean, if you had to look around the community and you had to decide, well, who are the people of God, you would certainly begin by looking at the places where people gather together in the name of the Lord, would you not? I mean, if you had to determine, well, who is the chosen people of God in this day, you would have certainly began to look at the nation of Israel, would you not? I mean, that would have been the place to have looked. But yet the Lord said, show my people their sin. What is their sin? It's not all the wickedness of the flesh that He could have named. Now that is, He didn't say that was not sin. He said, but here's the sin. This is the place where men trip up. See, everybody knows that even the most ungodly man knows what certain things are wrong. I mean, he knows it's not right to take another man's wife. He knows it's not right to carouse around and do things that all men know is wickedness. He knows that. All men know that. Religious men look at that and say, see there? There's wickedness. There it is. If you want to know where the wicked folks are, you go down to the bar room and, buddy, you'll see some wicked people there. And you will. You will. They're right about that. You'll see them there. You'll see them walking up and down the street. You'll see them everywhere. But the wickedest man you'll ever see is the one you see every morning in the mirror.
Yes.
You see, he's the one you need to be concerned about. And so when Isaiah comes to, or when the Lord says to Isaiah, show the people, the house of Jacob, their transgressions, he's not concerned about the Philistines and the Amalekites and all of these people out here that are worshiping and serving all kinds of gods. I wouldn't even begin to try to identify all the gods that are being worshiped today. Many of them in the name of worshiping Christ. Now, I'm not saying everybody is worshiping the wrong God because they don't see things my way. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is this, that the God who's speaking to Isaiah here is the true and living God. There is not another. And what he's saying to Isaiah here is some serious business. And he's saying, these are the people I want you to go to. They seek me daily. And they delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. They're not ungodly people in the sense that men call them ungodly. But he said, here's what the sin is. He said, behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day unto the Lord? Has the Lord said you need to make a big deal out about how bad you feel? No, the Lord never told us to do that. He never said that is the way it is. But you see, here's the difference between what he's upbraiding the nation of Israel for. See, they said, oh, brother, you need to fast and pray. You need to be faithful. You need to do this, and you need to follow the Lord, and you need to work at it, and you gotta give up this, and you gotta give up that, and you gotta be bowed down with all these things. See, the Pharisees, they thought that it was wrong to do good on the Sabbath day. Why? Because they were Sabbath keepers. In whose eyes? Did the Lord look at them and say, well, you're keeping the Sabbath? They were convinced they were keeping the Sabbath, were they not? I mean, if you'd ask any one of them, they'd have said, brother, we keep the Sabbath. Now, we may fall down in this, that, or the other, but we are keeping the Sabbath. We are righteous people. We are doing these things. He said, here's the fast I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness. True wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. And to let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. You see, the preaching of the gospel in Jesus Christ is designed to do all of that. That's what the purpose of it is. It's not to bind men with heavy burdens. It's not to tell men, oh, come and lay your sins down at Jesus' feet, and then now it's all up to you. You got to go out here and live a holy life and stay faithful so that when you die, you can go to see the Lord. It's not that. Because you see, if that's the way it is, well, what good did it do to put your sins away if then it falls back on you? So we're not to come preaching a message that binds men with heavy burdens and say, brother, you better feel like this and you better weigh yourself down under this heavy load or this, that, or the other. No, you see, the gospel is to be preached to those who are already under a heavy load. They're trying to get rid of it. Hard as they can. They're not trying to get another one. Now, the average man out here in the world, he doesn't have a heavy burden on his back. Oh, he's got problems. Everybody's got problems that they'd like to be rid of. Who wouldn't say that? But that's not it. What we're talking about is being weighed down under the conviction of our own sin. You see, that's that which the gospel comes to relieve. We're not coming trying to weigh men further down in it, or to drive them down and put our foot on them and grind them down further. We're trying to help them. That's what the preaching of the gospel is. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Now, the religious man says, see all these people over here starving. We need to get us a soup kitchen and go over here and feed them all. And then we fed the hungry. Well, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. If you see somebody in need, to meet that need is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But you've not fed the hungry according to what Isaiah is talking about here because you gave somebody a bowl of soup or a piece of bread. You see, to feed the hungry is to tell men what their real problem is. Now, there are a lot of people who take the words of Christ, of Isaiah even, where he's talking about the work that the Messiah would do, we would be healed by His stripes. And they take that and try to apply it with, well, now we can all be healed of whatever disease we've got because Christ, by His stripes, we're healed. Well, then if that be true, if that's it, then why are we sick? I mean, if Christ, if by His stripes we're healed, what they mean is by us believing it, by us telling other folks about it, by us making out like it's true, we'll be healed. That's what they mean. Oh, brother, you got to have faith. Well, faith in what? Faith in Christ. Well, if Christ, here's what true faith is. True faith is believing that if Christ died to take away our sickness, then, brethren, we can't be sick. But you see, what the healing that Christ came to bring was the healing of the real disease that men have. It's not all these things that afflict these fleshly bodies, because these bodies are going to crumble back to dust and they're going to fade away. And I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't, from time to time, for His own purpose, heal men in a miraculous way, because I've seen it happen and I know that it's true. But it does not, it's not because we prayed about it, it's not because we did anything, it's because God, who's rich in mercy, was pleased to bring it to pass. Now, He may have moved us to pray about it because He would cause us to rejoice in seeing the answer to prayer. But you see, it's for the glory of God.
Yes.
All things are.
Yes.
And that's the place that we come back when we would declare the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It must always come back to the glory of God. If it comes back to the thing of shifting, well, this is what Christ has done for you, now it's up to you to live right. If it comes back to that, then we have discounted what Christ did. Because you see, if what Christ did is not sufficient, then we don't have any leg to stand on anyway. But if what He did was complete, then what is it that could bring a man who's in under the blood of Christ back into condemnation? Not one thing in the world. Nothing. There is therefore what? Now? No condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. There's none. You see, when God is pleased to give a man faith to believe it, is that not the lifting of a burden? Praise God. Hallelujah. I can't believe it. Y'all let him get away. They let a wasp get away. Huh? Hey. If you let him bit you, he would have stayed there, see. So, here, what is the fast that the Lord has chosen? What has He called us? What is our religious duty? To proclaim liberty to the captives. To declare the acceptable year of the Lord. To magnify the name of Christ in the earth. Because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, this is a glorious proclamation. It's not the transference of a line of duty, but it is the revelation that Christ has done the complete work of salvation in the behalf of His people. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? I mean, have we done what the Lord said? If we go down to Skid Row and grab us up a couple of guys and bring them home with us, is that bringing the poor? Is that what He's talking about? No, He's talking about those that are poor. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about those who are made poor by the work of the Spirit of God. And we are sent with the gospel that we might help them. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him. What can a man be covered in? Well, brother, you need to come down here and join our church because we can sure help you out. You can't help anybody with anything. But I tell you what, you can clothe the naked in this fashion by declaring the work of Jesus Christ as the righteousness of His people, that those that know themselves to be naked might see that there is a righteousness that can be put on them that is a covering for their wickedness. Yes, that is that which covers the naked. And thou shalt cover him, and thou that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. Where's the health of God's people? Is it because we've got some cancer that got removed? You can have cancer today and it may be removed and healed, and next week you may get heart disease. Or the cancer may come back. Now, is that because somebody didn't have faith or because something's wrong with the work of Christ? Not at all. It's the way of the flesh. This flesh shall perish. These things wax old as a garment. It's ready to be cast aside. And the older that we get and the more that we see death all around us, we're made aware of that fact. That we're passing away. We're passing away. What is life but a vapor? It's here and gone. Now, as a young man finds that hard to believe, because he sees everything out in front of him. But the older you get, the more you see everything behind you. And we went to a memorial service yesterday for my cousin. And really his whole life was summed up in about a 10-minute video. I mean, that was it. From his baby picture till the last picture that was taken of him before he went on out. 10 minutes. And everybody was tired then. They was ready to leave. Now, that's kind of funny in one way, but you know, it's not. It's so true as to how little significance there is in all those things that men place so much stock in this world that passes away in a moment. But the Lord said, this is wickedness. When you bind men with burdens, when you weigh them down with religion and duties and things that you tell men they must do in order to please God. No, the declaration of the gospel is what Christ has done to please God. You see, this is the lifting of the burden to the man who's burdened down with his sin. This is the helping of the man that finds himself naked and without help. Thy health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. Oh, brethren, isn't that a glorious thing to think that our righteousness goes before us? You see, Jesus Christ has already entered in to the presence of the Father in our behalf, the Scripture says. Our righteousness is already established. It's not something that we've got to wait till the end to find out if He held out to the end. I mean, the Lord has a bunch of scorekeepers up there. Find out, well, this one made it and that one didn't. He fell by the wayside and mark him off. We had good hopes that he'd make it, but he didn't. No, the righteousness of the saints of God is Christ and Christ alone. Our righteousness goes before us. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Now, that's an unusual word, but simply means our rear guard. Now, sometimes people read that as reward, but that's not what that word means. That particular word means He's our rear guard. So our righteousness goes before us, and what else does it say? He's our rear guard. He's the one that's in front of us, and He's the one that's behind us. And nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, is that not the lifting of the burden from the man that's bowed down with sin? Now, the man that thinks that he's going to somehow please God, that's no help to him at all. But when a man is brought to the place where he knows he cannot do one thing to make himself acceptable in the sight of God, he can't be baptized and do it, he can't repent enough and do it, he can't fast enough, he can't lay out before the Lord enough in a protracted meeting, he can't do anything at all. When he is stripped naked and bare and without any hope, help, or aid to come to him, then the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified is a sweet message. Oh, what a blessed thing it is. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, the speaking of vanity, speaking of emptiness. I'm telling you, the lading down of people with religious burdens is speaking vanity unto men. It is emptiness. And if they believe it, and they adhere to it, and they walk in it, they will walk in it to their own destruction. I'm telling you, anything that a man trusts in outside of the righteousness of Jesus Christ will destroy him in the end. I don't care what it is. I don't care if he says, I'm trusting Christ, but I'm trusting my holy life. That's too much. You can't trust those two things. Because you see, when a man's brought to Christ, he's give up on the holy life. He gave up on that. He tried that and he found out that didn't work. Now, there's a lot of people that are good religious people. And they're just like this over here. They say, they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of God. They say, well, we're following the Lord. Well, we're doing what God said. You folks over there, you're preaching that grace stuff, and you folks just going off all, you just love sin. We don't love sin. We love righteousness, and we're going to follow the Lord. And you're going to find out that grace wasn't good enough. Well, dear brethren, if grace is not good enough, we're all going to perish. Because without the grace of God, there is no salvation. Does not His Word tell us that it's by grace through faith? And then what does it say? And that, not of yourselves. Now, sometimes people argue whether it's the grace or the faith. What difference does that make? If it's the grace or it's the faith, if it's the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast, what does that tell us? It's not of the things that men do. It's not of the works of the flesh. It's not of the will of man. But it is of God.
who gives men righteousness. And brethren, this is the lifting of burdens. This is the helping of the poor. This is the feeding of the hungry. Because it is that message which is designed to aid those who are in a place of need. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain. Wait a minute, I got off on the wrong thing. It says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear guard. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Then shalt thou cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, the speaking of vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. It is in the preaching of the righteousness of Christ alone as the hope of God's people that the light of God's people arises. The Lord said, and I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He meant that whenever, if he was crucified, that this would happen, but he also had reference to the fact that when that which he has accomplished on Calvary's cross is declared unto men in the fullness and power of what it is. Now, Jesus Christ didn't go to the cross to be an example. He didn't go to the cross to try to do something. He went to the cross to secure the redemption of his people, and he went there with a purpose in mind, and he accomplished that, and he got that which was his, and he said, it is finished. He did it. What a glorious thing. To sinners deep in debt, to those that know themselves, to be perishing, what a glorious thing. Thy light shall arise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be at noonday. Oh, the world can't see it. You see, the light of which the gospel proclaims is a light that is hidden from the wise and the prudent. It's hidden from those that fast in order to make God take notice of them. It's hidden from those who go about to establish their own righteousness. Cannot be seen. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Is that not what the Lord said to the woman at the well? He said, if you'd have known who I was, you'd ask of me and I'd give you a well of water springing up to eternal life. A well of water that never runs dry. A well of water that is life. You see, that is the declaration of the truth of Almighty God. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not I will give you rest if you'll be obedient. He said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why is it light? Because he bore it for us. You see, he's the one that's pulling the load. You see, when a man is in the yoke with Christ, there's not a load to be pulled. Because Christ is the puller of the load. You see, he's the one who has triumphed. He's the champion of his people. He's the mighty Savior. He said, I am a Savior mighty to save. I grow so weary when I hear men speak of a Savior who's wimpy to save. He can't do anything if you don't let him. And even if you let him, he can't do anything if you don't stay faithful. Brethren, that's no Savior at all. The one that we preach unto you is Jesus Christ. Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you. Nothing. Nothing. They said, "Paul, you're a libertine. Paul, you're leading people to sin. You say sin that grace may abound." They accused him of all sorts of things. But he said, "I determined to know one thing, and that was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, as the Savior of His people. There is no other message than that. That is light for those that sit in darkness. That is help for those who are helpless. And these waters fail not, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths." Oh, you see, this is kind of a twofold thing. We know who the repairer of the breach is. But oh, I tell you, the Lord has given unto us, the Scripture says, the word of reconciliation. You see, He said it's nigh thee even in your very mouths. Let every man be ready to give to every man that asks him a reason of the hope that's within him. You see, this is that which is a light to those that sit in darkness and a help to the helpless. The restorer of paths to dwelling, if thou turn away thine... Now listen to this. Now the Lord, those that are religious, they say, "See there? I told you it was going to come back down to keeping the law. I knew it. All you preachers of grace, y'all don't know what you're talking about. This is the way it is." Now here the Lord's really getting down to something that you can sink your teeth into, that you can see. "If you'll turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day." See there? You got to keep the Sabbath. "And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, or speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself," what? "In the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." God's people are to be Sabbath keepers. But how is the Sabbath to be kept? By recognizing who the Sabbath is. You see, the Sabbath is a day of rest. "And if thy foot refrain not from keeping the Sabbath," that is, from seeing Jesus Christ as that one who has provided all righteousness for the people of God, then, he says, "and thy feet from the holy Lord honorable shalt honor him." How do religious men honor the Lord? Now the righteous nation that goes about as a righteous nation, they're saying we're following the Lord. See here, they say, "Well, we honor the Lord by doing what He said." I can't argue with that partially. But that's not what He means here. You see, we honor the Lord by doing what He says because He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, and He causes His people to walk according to the good pleasure of His will and walk in obedience to His way. But what He means here, honoring the Lord is by recognizing what it is that He has done in our behalf. See, that's what it is to honor the Lord, is to give Jesus Christ all the praise and all the glory. And when, if anybody comes preaching anything else to you, let him be accursed. That's what Paul said. He said, "Put it away. I don't want to hear it. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if it's anything else, it doesn't make any difference how righteous it appears to men. How sincere they may be in what they do, it doesn't matter. If it's not Christ, it cannot be what it is that He's speaking of here."
Amen.
"Thou shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. O Lord, cleanse our mouths." Is that not the desire of God's people? A man in whom the Spirit of God dwells, does he not desire that the Lord would cleanse his mouth and purify his heart and bind him to the horns of the altar? I mean, isn't that the place that those that hunger and thirst after the Lord are constantly found? They don't have to be hedged about by the words of religion and the duties of religion. They're hedged about by the Spirit of God that constrains them. That's what he said. Not doing thine own ways, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Oh, brethren, that's the place of rejoicing. You talk about rejoicing, it's there. You know, men often think of heaven in carnal terms, and they think about the rejoicing aspect of going to heaven, and they think about it in carnal ways, and they say, oh, that's going to be, we're going to all be up there rejoicing, we're going to see old so-and-so, we hadn't seen them in a long time, and we're going to get to see them again. And I have no doubt that we are going to be gathered together with the saints of God. The Scripture says we shall know even as we're known. But brethren, that's not the glory of heaven for the children of God. I mean, the glory of heaven for the children of God is the same glory that they had when they were upon the earth. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And let His name be praised through the ages to come. You know, I don't care if I know anybody in heaven or not, and I believe I will, but that won't make any difference to me if I don't. Because that's not the glory of it. Doesn't mean I don't care about people or love people or whatever. Maybe I don't. I probably don't. Surely don't, as I should. But that's not what God's people are seeking. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And what did he say? I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. There's a lot of rejoicing in the saints of God when God's pleased to give them a glimpse of Christ. I'm going to tell you, when God is pleased to cause you to see the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Jesus Christ and see Him as that Redeemer who has taken away the sins of His people, every last jot and tittle, boy, that's a place of high rejoicing for the saints of God. Now, we don't always see that as clearly as we wish we did. Many times it gets clouded by this little thing and that, and Satan would certainly love to cloud our vision, and he would most assuredly love to get us weighed down under religious obligations and duties. Because that is the chief place that he would blind men, is in religion. No greater place of blindness than the religion of men. They love it. They pat one another on the back. They're glad to see one another because we're all religiously connected. May our fellowship be in Christ. Not because we're religiously connected. What is that? I don't even know what it is. But I mean, it has some bearing on some people. I mean, if you're of their denomination, buddy, you're in. But if you're not, they're worried about you. In fact, they're pretty well convinced that you're not in at all. That's the way the Jews were, wasn't it? I mean, they said, we're the people of God. We're it. Isaiah tells the people what their sins are. He said, they're seeking me. They sought him after fashion. Who could say that they weren't? I certainly wouldn't say they weren't. They did after fashion, but they did it for the wrong reason. They did it with a misunderstanding. They did it to satisfy the flesh. It's not about the flesh. The Lord seeketh such to worship Him as worship Him in spirit and truth. They'll ride upon the high places of the earth and feed with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, upon what does all of our hope rest? It rests on the work of Christ and the faith that God has given us to believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. How does a man seek the Lord? Only by the grace of God. But I believe it's a true thing that you can't keep a man from seeking the Lord. When the Lord begins to move in his heart and show him what he is by nature, he'll seek the Lord. The Lord said, "They that seek me early, they shall find me." The Lord will not despise a broken and contrite heart. But he delights to see those who are broken before him. And he delights to show mercy to such as call upon his name and fear and tremble before him. Because he is the Savior. He's not the trier. He's not the hoper. He's the Savior of sinners. What a glorious Savior we have, full of grace and mercy to all that call upon his name.